Morning, church, and welcome to Church of Our Savior. Today is our communion service once again, and time passes so quickly, isn't it? It's already February. Can you believe it? You know, we are just beginning the year, and suddenly 1 year is gone. So you know, we have to hurry because you know Jesus is coming back again, right? Before I start today, of course, I want to take the opportunity to welcome someone quite special in our midst today. We've been talking about him, or rather you, for quite a little while. And so Reverend Joseph Yu is with us this morning. I'm going to ask him to stand. You'll hear from him soon, right? Welcome him to Church of Our Savior. Of course, his family is also with us. The whole family is the Joe family. Joseph, right? Jocelyn is the wife. The daughter is Jolene, and the son is Josiah, right? So you want to make friends with him, just go and Joe them out, right? So now this is something that I've known him for a long time, so he's a good man. You enjoy talking with him. You can also ask him out to play badminton because he was once a national badminton player, for those of you who don't know. Okay, don't play. So we're very happy for that. Also, I want to quickly mention, last week we had a really good time, you know, in experiencing opportunity to experience God's healing, right? Now, if God has done something for you, you need to tell us about it, okay? Don't secretly God heal you or something, like keep quiet, don't tell anyone. Please tell us about what God did for you, big or small things, right? So that we can share with the testimony, share the testimony with the community. So if some of you experience something, please come forward, alright? I don't think God did it for you alone, right? I believe God did it to encourage the community, amen? Right? So if something happened for you, please let us know, you know, maybe write up something in an email to either myself or to May, then we'll try and get it together and maybe get the story from you, alright? Okay, today we are continuing in our series in securing the promises of God. And I want to tell you that this is such an exciting time. This year alone, in fact, just this last week, we heard in our staff meeting, we had so many testimonies about what God is doing in our midst. People are coming to the Lord. Sometimes they just walk up and say, I want to receive the Lord. You know what I mean? We are thinking all these complicated plans, how to convince them. They are actually just coming forward. And some of these stories are just so amazing, but I cannot tell you because they're quite sensitive in nature, right? But a lot of things are happening in our midst. I want to thank God for it because I know God is moving and we don't want to get left behind. We want to move with the Lord. Amen? You know, in the wilderness, whenever the pillar of cloud move, right? A pillar of fire or the cloud move, the people will follow. They'll break camp, they'll follow. So whenever God moves, the people will follow, right? So I believe God is moving, and I want to say that all of us, either individually or as a community, we need to follow the Lord. Amen? Amen. Some of us don't want to move, you know. In fact, in Deuteronomy, God actually specifically told the people, break camp and move. You have remained in this place long enough. Sometimes we like the place so long we don't want to move, all right? But I believe God is moving us. And I think all of us must be in a posture to move, to allow God to create new wineskins in our own life, right? So today we want to continue on from last week. We began at Gilgal as a sermon, but actually we began before that in our leaders meeting at Acacia Grove, right? Then we move on to Gilgal. Then last week we were at Jericho. At Jericho, they experienced a tremendous victory. I mean, it was like nothing they've ever seen before. And it's so nice that your first great battle, you have a great victory. You know, I don't know about you, when you go for your first major challenge and you experience it, it's a very encouraging thing. So I imagine that after Jericho, sentiments were running high. Confidence was, you know, through the roof. Everyone was so excited. I mean, they barely lifted a finger and the walls of Jericho came down, right? So you can imagine the people are probably thinking to themselves, if God is for us, who can be against us? If Jericho fell before us, surely the rest of this land is chicken feet. What can the rest of the land possibly hold against this God? This God who proved himself at the Red Sea, this God who proved himself at the River Jordan, and this God who once again proved himself that he's still alive and kicking and doing miracles, and he just brought down Jericho. So, you know, the people are just excited. I mean, everyone is so positive. They are eager and they're running. They get down and they're probably thinking, where next? They can't wait, right? Because they want to see God show up. So today, we are looking at where next. Well, where next is actually the city of Ai. I'm just read from Joshua chapter 7 verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now some people tell me, Pastor, this is AI. No, it's not AI. Okay, it's Ai. Okay, like love like that, but it's not very loving. Which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out on Ai. So after having rested, you know, consolidated themselves at Jericho, they moved up deeper. Now, Jericho was just at the valley of the Jordan. It's very low down. But now, Ai is really up in the mountains a bit. You have to go in a little bit further, right, near Bethel. And the Bible tells us it was beside a place called Beth Aven. Now, this, by now, you all should know what Beth stands for already, right? What does Beth stand for, Beth? House, very good. You can see your Hebrew is improving, all right? So, you know, Bethany, Bethlehem. Now, Beth Aven. So what is oven? It's not microwave oven, right? This is, oven is actually a Hebrew word that means wickedness, right? So this was the house of wickedness. But sometimes Beth could also mean temple, right? So if you go to Jerusalem, the temple mount is known as Har HaBayit, right? It means the mountain of the house or the temple. So this could be the temple of wickedness. We don't really know why, but there's this peculiar detail that suggests to us that, you know, maybe this was a place of worship, you know, where they worship idols or something like that. Okay, we don't know, but we are told that this was out in there next to Beth Aven. So, typical, you know, this was their standard modus operandi, right? They would send spies into the land, just like they did in Joshua. So now the spies go in, what could possibly go wrong, right? They look at this place and they come back bringing a report. So Joshua chapter 7 verse 3 is the report. They said to Joshua, do not let all the people go up. Now they can't come across the Jordan with 40,000 fighting men, okay? These soldiers alone, not counting all the others. 40,000 fighting men was their force. So now they said, do not let all the people go up, meaning go up to Ai, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men, which is less than 10% of your fighting force, right? 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, okay? Meaning that their own people, don't weary them, for the people of Ai are few. Everyone say few. So, Ai is nothing like Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. It had a fighting force. It had a proper king to it. You know, I mean, it wasn't one of your easy-peasy targets, right? But Ai is nothing. We can just send a tenth of our force, right? Let's say less than 10% of your fighting force, and the rest of it, you can just relax, okay? We'll be back evening, and then, you know, we have a nice dinner and everything business as usual. So, it was a pretty easy target. It was not a heavily fortified city, and they told Joshua, don't worry about this thing. We got this thing, okay? We got this place. I mean, if Jericho, such a big city, could be defeated, surely I would be an easy conquest, right? So, Joshua chapter 7, verse 4 and 5, so continue to read. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. So they listened to the spies. You know, if anything you learn about the Bible, don't always listen to your spies, right? But they listened to the spies. 3,000 men went up from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. Meaning that they were routed, right? And the men of Ai struck down the 36 men, for they chased them from there before, they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So they had gone up the hill, right? Because Jericho was down in the valley of Jordan. They'd gone up in the hills and they were being chased all the way down. I mean, it was an embarrassing and a horrendous defeat. 36 people actually died, right? So you might think 36 is nothing. I mean, compared to Jericho, I don't think they lost that many people. So they were being chased down all the way by what was supposed to be a easy, small adversary, small opponent. It was a great embarrassment, and on top of that, the Bible says their hearts melted. They became discouraged, right? You know, in our lives, all of us occasionally encounter setbacks, right? This is true whether it is your normal life or even in your spiritual life. There will be times when you think that you're going to succeed in something, it's going to be so easy, and then just when you least expect it, suddenly there is a setback. I'm not sure, have you experienced something like this in your life before? Yeah? You can relate to this, right? You know, when I was my mom was a math teacher, right? So I did math since I was young. You know, since I was young, very young, I already do my, what is known as 乘法表. For those of you who don't know Chinese, this is your times table, right? So every day I will have to do, you know, I can do, to this day I still do my math in Mandarin because of that, you know? Because all my calculator out here is made in Chinese, China. So I would, when I go to school, my math, I'm always A. I got math, straight A's for math, you know, every time. Until I went to junior college. In junior college, we had math, and we have something called further math, right? What is so far about math? It's actually a lot harder. It's not like your normal math. So, of course, you know, I went in and said, yeah, math, you know, don't need to study one, right? So, instead of getting A in my first exam for further math, okay, it's not just because of that further math. It's also English math. Because in Malaysia, we study everything in BM, you see, Bahasa, right? So, I come and see, sometimes the math words, I don't understand. What is this word talking about, you know? So, which is true for all the science topics, also very difficult. But instead of getting A, I got a pink slip. You know what's a pink slip, right? You fail. I tell you, it was a shock in my life. First time I ever failed. Worse still, it's in math, okay? I mean, it was in some other thing. Maybe I can feel better. But, you know, sometimes in your life, when you least expect it, you experience a setback. For some of you, maybe setback in your job. Maybe you think you're about to get a promotion, but instead, nothing happened for you. Or maybe you fail in a relationship. Maybe you fail in some endeavor of your life. In your spiritual life, we fail when we least expect it, right? Just when you think you got it, I got it. Now, what happens? For a lot of Christians, I notice that when they are dealt a body blow like this, right? Many of them find it very hard to recover from it. They become discouraged. They become, they forget everything. Right? This is the end. It's the end for them. And many of them, they simply want to throw in the towel. One defeat, and they want to throw in the towel. I don't know if perhaps there are some of you here today who perhaps have experienced a defeat, and because of that defeat, you have been stuck in the place of defeat forever, right? Well, you know, Joshua, for all the leader that he was actually no different. Because after such a defeat, he cried out to God. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 7, he says, Alas, Lord God, why have you brought these people over the Jordan at all? Why did we come here, right? To deliver us into the hands of these Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we have been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Better we didn't come here. You know, I mean, this is what they were thinking. And I guess many of us can feel the same way. When something goes wrong, you feel, I wish we didn't even bother to try. I mean, when you started, of course, you're all excited, right? When you're all excited, everyone wants to try. But when something goes wrong, when we experience a setback, how do you handle that defeat? I think that's the first thing we want to look here. What are you going to do in the light of defeat? Well, the first thing you need to remember in the light of defeat is that setbacks do not negate God's promises. You understand? When you experience a setback, it doesn't mean God has stopped His promise. Is God's promise still true? Yes, it's true. Just because you have a setback doesn't mean it's the end of the world. But many Christians don't understand this. To them, the road to God's promise is without any defeats, victory after victory after victory. And the moment they get one defeat, you know, it doesn't matter, they just had Jericho, right? Imagine, Jericho was a miracle. And all of a sudden, they've forgotten all that already. Right now, all they can look at is the defeat that's before them. Why did we come here? They didn't ask that when Jericho's walls came down, right? Jericho's walls came down. Lord, why did you bring us here? You never asked that, right? But now, suddenly, they were focusing on it. So, first of all, defeat does not negate God's promises for us. Whatever you've gone through in your life now, right? Whatever failures, whatever falls you have taken, whether it is in your spiritual life, in your physical life, whatever, you just have to remember that defeat does not define your destiny. That one thing that happened, you cannot allow it to define everything else that is going to happen in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Guys, I know it's early in the morning, but right, help me out here, okay? Helps my self-esteem a lot to know that you are awake, okay? So, many of us, as we go through our Christian life, invariably and inevitably, you will experience some defeat. Here's what you want to remind yourself. Your defeat does not define your destiny. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, your defeat does not define your destiny. Okay? You made a mistake. Okay? You messed up in your life. You committed some sin in your life. Well, guess what? Join the club. Right? We are all like that. All of us, at some point or another, we have messed up. We've all done that. What you need to do is you need to shake off the scheme of Satan, right? And get back. Now, Satan wants to paralyze us. Stop you from doing anything. You need to shake that off. You need to get back to the business that God has on hand for us. So what do you think God said to Joshua when Joshua said, "Oh yeah, I wish we never came here, right? Better we didn't have come across the Jordan." You know, what do you think God said? I can just imagine, you know, God parted the Jordan for them, right? Parted the Jordan. I mean, that's no mean feat, right? That's like miracle for the ages. And then God caused the walls of Jericho to fall before them. And then Joshua says, "Oh yeah, better we didn't come here, lah. You know, why did we come here? You know, I just can just imagine God's probably up to here. It's like these people, it doesn't matter how many miracles you do. Many people think miracle will change your life. Actually, I tell you, your heart changes your life. Miracles sometimes can only, at best, point you in a certain direction, right? So what do you think God's response to Joshua was? Well, this is what God told Joshua. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, okay? He said Joshua was crying, he was on the ground, you know. "Get up! Why do you lie thus on your face?" This is what the Lord said to Joshua. "Get up! Why are you moping around in self-pity, in your defeat? Get up, Joshua! We got things to do here. Your defeat does not define your destiny." And I think sometimes Christians, like, this is what happens. Something goes wrong in your life. "Oh yeah, so bad lah. Yeah, that's right. I'm such a sinner before God lah. I'll never be used." You know, you disqualify yourself. And you know what? That's exactly what Satan wants to do. To discourage you so that you just stop running altogether. Then his business is done. Right? And sometimes Christians can remain, you know, in a mire of self-pity and wallowing in all that self-condemnation for a very long time. Even when the Bible tells you there is now no condemnation, right? Well, Joshua was there. So much so that God had told him, "Get up." So today, if you have been walking in defeat day after day after day, you know what God is telling you, right? Get up. Get up. Don't lie down on your face like this. You have work to do. Time is passing. January over already. We're in 2008. There is the business of God to do. There's a victory that God desires for us. God's plan for us is not to remain in defeat, but to have victory. Amen? Notwithstanding the fact that they just lost at Ai, what do you think God's plan was for them to regards to Ai? For them to conquer Ai, right? So this is something very important. So God wants us to get back to the business of winning, the mission of winning the world for the kingdom of God. So God wants you to focus on that. Satan, on the other hand, wants you to focus on your misery, wants to focus on your embarrassment, wants to focus you on your sense of condemnation, on your defeat. God wants you to focus on victory. Amen? Amen? Tell your neighbor, God wants you to focus on victory. Okay, so what do? Right? You just experienced a defeat, you're moping around, and God says, "Get up, shake off that stuff. That is not God's will for you. God's will for you is not depression." Understand? Some Christians, you can spend so much time in there, you become depressed. God's plan for you is not depression, right? So what do? Well, you evaluate, right? You ask yourself, what did we do wrongly? Evaluation is very important. So Joshua, the Bible says he tore his clothes. God always leads us together and asks, what went wrong? I guess when they went against Ai at first, they thought they had easy, right? So they probably thought that they knew everything about this stuff already. Because of such an easy victory in Jericho, sometimes it can lull us into a sense of complacency, isn't it? A victory does good and bad things to us. Sometimes victory causes us to be very thankful, and that's a good thing. But sometimes victory can make us complacent. So maybe they thought they knew everything there was to know about God. Maybe they thought they knew everything there was to know about victory and conquering these cities that were before them. Or maybe they thought they were strong enough already. You know, this is a crucial lesson to be learned in securing the promise of God for your own life, right? You want the promise of God, you got to learn this lesson, right? That you cannot become complacent. It doesn't matter how many years you've been in church. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know. It doesn't matter what position or ranking you have managed to hold in the church. It doesn't matter whether you've been a leader or not a leader. It does not matter what people think of you as a person. It really doesn't matter how long you've been at this thing. You can never become complacent. Amen? And that's something, I mean, if you admit it, it's something very easy for us to do, to become complacent. And the moment complacency steps in, you're just one step away from defeat, just like I. So, sometimes we think, okay lah, you know, I'm already quite experienced, I don't have to do this anymore. This is kids lah, new Christians do this, I don't have to do this anymore, right? And we start to cut corners, right? attending church, don't have to go. You know, I tell you, I sometimes go on holiday with my wife, right? And occasionally, the holiday will cross over on a weekend, like a Sunday, right? And wherever we are in the world, right? Me and my wife, we will pull out Google, find out where to attend church. Where is a church we can attend, right? And maybe we'll try. But, you know, wherever we are, if it's a Sunday, you can be in New Zealand, we still try to find church to attend. In fact, when I was in New Zealand, we attended a very iconic church, you know. The church all tourists, on. The church members are so few, right? But we decided, wherever we are, this was not a corner you are. Same for all of you here, right? You all come to church, I tell you. After a while, you might think, never mind, I don't go to church. You know, some people say, Pastor, why do you have to go to church? You are the pastor, why? You can be the church in your own hotel room. You know, you cannot think like this one. Yeah, sometimes we tell ourselves that, right? I got Bible here, I sing a few songs, I go to church already. We start cutting corners. Listen, you cannot allow complacency to step in your life. Amen? That's why you have to hold fast. When you become complacent, you hold loosely, you see? Hold fast to God. Okay, so, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says this, therefore, let him who thinks he stands, that will be addressing all the experienced Christians, right? Take heed lest he fall. Usually, when you are what you think you are the strongest, that's when we are our most vulnerable. When you become most likely to let your guard down. Dependence on God is a day-to-day thing. I often wonder, you know, what happens to our church members between the weekends, right? Every weekend you got this gather together, you are challenged, right? You got on a mountaintop. What happens in the valleys in between? I wonder whether those are the times that we allow ourselves to slip into lukewarmness, right? Or do we do something to keep our fire burning? How to prevent ourselves from thinking, we got it already, you know, because I sang a few nice songs, I got it already. How do we stay vigilant? You know, the Bible says, because the devil is like a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. You don't want to become lion's lunch, right? That's why you have to be vigilant. Amen? So things like coming to church, things like serving in church, things like going to yourself, don't take these things for granted. It may not seem very much to you. They may seem just like I to you. An easy, small, easy-peasy thing. But you know what? It is the little things that often gets us. Okay? Instead of putting in 100%, you put in only 10%. And by that, I don't mean tithe. Tithe, you should give more than that. But, you know, instead of just giving your all, you just give half or less than half of your effort. Whatever you want to do in church, do with all your heart. Or don't do it at all. If you want to worship God, don't give God a little. Give God your whole heart. Amen? Now this is how we are going to secure the God promise of God. Because I tell you, in church, in Singapore, right? And not only in Singapore, in the whole world, there are many people going to church. The question is not how many people go to church. The question is when you go to church, are you giving your all? Or are you like cutting corners, giving a bit here, a bit there, instead of giving your all? And that is why a lot of Christians, even though they go to church, they don't experience the promise and the victory of God. Rather, we walk in defeat. We only go through a motion, right? That looks like... Okay, so I won't continue because I will not spend a lot of time. But Christians become complacent. I want to challenge you. Do not become complacent. Wake up today. Give your all. Tell yourself, you know, I cannot afford to do this because you know why? I'm serious about winning. Are you? You know, I'm serious about winning. On my table, in my office, I have a Sun Tzu's Art of War, you know. Sun Tzu Ping Fa, you know. Because I want to win. This is not something... I don't like to lose. Okay, there's something bad about me. I don't like to lose. So when it comes to Christian life, I don't want to lose. Okay, whatever it is God wants us to do, I want to win. And I'm learning how to win. I want all of us to win together. Amen? Okay, so complacency strikes us in every aspect of our... Sometimes when we think we are the strongest, that's when... And you know, sometimes the temptation can come to you. When you're not looking for it, it's not your fault. It just comes to you, right? And, you know, just the other day, I was going to buy some music equipment, right? So I was just going to the shop, minding my own business, right? Trying to get equipment and thinking how this can help some of the ministry we're planning for the church, right? And I was walking past a shop. This shop, there was a lady standing at the door, right? So I was just minding my own, so I walked past. As I walked past, the lady called, Taker, you know, Striker. I was just walking around, looking around me. Nobody, just me on it. Taka, you know. Then, you know, I was thinking, what am I going to do? What's the name? But you know what's going on, right? I was like, Daniel, walk away from this. Then a second later, I said, Daniel, don't walk. Run. Right? You know, I tell you, in Christian life, sometimes we just have to run. Right? There are sometimes something smart to fight. Some things don't fight, run. Okay, you got to be smart. Lah. I mean, you fight the wrong thing. You know? If you're not careful, next thing you know, 大哥 becomes 小姐, you know? So then you got a problem already. Okay? Okay, this one I don't translate. Like, so this is very complicated, right? Okay. Songs chapter 2 verse 15. I have not preached from the book of Song of Songs yet, but there's one good verse here. It says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. The vines are you and me, right? We have tender grapes. We are not as strong as we imagine we are, right? So it's often the little foxes. It's not the big things. It's the little things that nibble away at the corners. And you give in a little bit. You cut a small corner here and there. We allow our attitude some, you know, we allow ourselves some slack in our attitude towards God. Our fear of the Lord. We allow all these things to be nibbled away, not by the big things, but by the small things. And pretty soon, you crumble before your enemies. We are weaker and more fragile than we often realize. Right? That's why we need the Lord. When we think we are strong, we don't need God. We just do it our own way. Okay, so what exactly happened that caused this defeat in Jericho? Joshua got all the men together, and they were praying to God. God, tell us what we did wrong, right? So they gathered all the people, and God pointed out this guy, Achan. Okay, his name is A-C-H-A-N in the Bible. But actually, in the Bible, it's Achan, right? Like Achan Datang, like Achan. Okay. So anyway, I'd like to call him Achan because so much more Chinese that way, right? God will point out this guy, Achan. So they pull Achan in and say, Achan, you better tell us what happened because God put his finger on you, right? So Achan confessed. He confessed that while we are in Jericho, right, we're having this great victory in Jericho. I was going through the rubble, you know, killing the enemies. And lo and behold, I saw there in the rubble some Babylonian garment. Very beautiful, waving at me. Taka, you know. I go near it. When I go near, I saw even more. There are 200 shekels of gold there. And going somewhere, there's a bar of gold right there, a wedge of gold. And then there's silver. So what did I do? You should have run, right? But no, I take it home. I keep it. I buried it under my tent. So this was what happened. Now, Joshua had, before they went in, Joshua specifically gave them instructions in Joshua chapter 6 verse 18, right? He says, and you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Now, listen to this very carefully, right? Lest you become accursed when you take the accursed thing. Okay, so abstain. This thing, God says, no, don't touch it. Abstain means ban. Actually, the Hebrew word is harem, which is the Malay word haram, right? Haram. So, this is banned. You cannot even touch it. If you touch it, what will happen? You will become haram also. You also will fall under the so-called curse, right? And then, you will make the camp of Israel a curse. So not only will you become a curse, all of Israel will become a curse. You know, this is a very funny thing here, right? And trouble it. Do you know that you are part of a bigger body? And what happens to you actually happens to all of us. Do you realize this? Many people don't realize this in church. We think it's just me and you. I just do my own business. You know what? Your own business becomes everybody's business because we are all in a one body together. Amen? When you have the Holy Communion, it's basically saying we are all one body. Right? We are all belonging to the same body. So, this guy, he does it. He thinks he's just doing himself. But now, because of this, all of Israel had become a curse. Right? We become objectionable to God. That's why God did not help them. So, but all the gold, the silver, the vessels of bronze and iron, they are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. This belongs to God. You cannot touch it, right? That's why we are always very careful before God. We don't want to touch the glory of God. We want to touch something that belongs to God. Give to God what belongs to God. Amen? Right? So this is something that is important. So anyway, he knew it was a sin. This Achan guy, he knew it. That's why he hid it, right? If it wasn't a sin, why did he hide it, right? So he knew it was a sin. He hid it. It was not a matter of ignorance. I found that many Christians actually, you know, they know what is sin. The problem is not that they don't know. You don't have to tell a sinner that he's sin. Most of the time, they know that it's a sin. The problem is that they can't say no to it. That's the problem of the flesh, right? We know something is wrong. We still can't say no to it. That is our human weakness. The Babylonian garment, the gold, the silver, they were just a bit too much. Maybe for this Achan guy, maybe he thought, wow, if only I had this gold,
I don't have to work so hard anymore. I don't have to rely on, you know, the harvest. I got gold. Maybe he wants to transfer his confidence to these things, right? Who knows? But with that sin came a very severe consequence, if you like. Joshua chapter 7, verse 24, 25. Then all Israel, right, took this Achan guy, the son of Zerah, and the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. They brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. So they brought everything to the valley of Achor. The word Achor means trouble. This is the valley of trouble, right? And there was this meted out a very severe punishment. I don't know about you. When I read this, you know, I have to pause a little bit because I'm struck by the severity of the punishment. Aren't you? Wow, it's not just him, but his sons, his daughters, right? In our mind, they're innocent, right? Not only that, his oxen, his donkeys, you know, his sheep, all also kena. Why is it so severe? So I actually stopped here, I pondered for a little while. In the Bible, you notice that a lot of the punishments are very severe. Instantaneous and severe, right? No pause about it. So I wonder why, and I suspect the reason why we are shocked by the severity is often because most of us have forgotten the severity of sin before a holy God. I think this is the problem. The problem is most of us think, but it's just a small thing on here. It doesn't deserve such a severe punishment because it's a small thing. And for us, sometimes I guess sin is a small thing in our own eyes. But before the Lord, it is not. Before a holy God, this is a very severe thing. You understand? Right? And I think sometimes we have lost the fear of God because of that. Because we are so used to the idea of God is my buddy, my pal, you know. Anything is okay, chinchai. And you realize you cannot. You want to worship God, you have to draw near God with reverence in your heart. You've got to realize this God is a dangerous God. Right? He's a lion of Judah. Have you seen a lion before? I mean like a real life lion. Not in a zoo. Zoo lion are safe. You know, no matter what you do, the bar protect you, right? It's safe. You know, I was in Africa one time. I went to a lion park where the lions are roaming about free. Okay? If you're driving on the road now and there's a lion, pride of lion on the, you can't go anywhere just to wait till the lion go away. Right? Because they can bite your car, you know, your tire, the boom, that's it. Then you have to push your car already. You don't want to do that in a lion park, right? And I remember, the lion, they look so tame. And the guy in the park told us, many people die, especially the Japanese. Why? Because they look at the lion, they're so tame. Right? They want to take pictures, you see. So they open the door, come on, the selfie. Yeah? That was the last selfie you ever take, you know. Many of us think of God like this. God is so tame, right? But God is a lion, you understand? He is not to be messed with. Now, of course, here, they understood that you can't mess with God because the judgment is severe. When Uzzah touched the ark, bam, straight away you die. No discussion, no conversation required, you die straight away. Because God's instruction is very clear. It's very clear, right? When Aaron's two sons in Leviticus chapter 10, right? When they offered profane fire, fire came out and consumed both of them. No discussion needed, right? Not even, doesn't matter your father is Aaron. No discussion needed. So all the more for us, you know, when we draw near to God, I think we need to change our attitude a bit. We need to reverse some of our very modern buddy-buddy picture of God. Reverse that a little bit. He is a father, but don't forget, this father is actually a lion. Right? This is what the Tales of Narnia tells us. He's a lion. He's not safe. He's a father, he's God, but he's not safe. Right? Okay, so they are struck down in this valley of Achor. And we are reminded in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 also, we are told this. The wages of sin is what? Death. Right? The Bible doesn't beat around the bush. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know, some of us may find yourself in the valley of Achor, in the valley of trouble. Maybe you messed up and you're thinking, well, I've sinned. And the wages of sin is death. fortunately for us, it's not your blood. In the case of Akko, it was his own blood, his family's blood, right? But for us, there's the blood of another one who actually paid for the severity of our sin before God, right? His name is Jesus. So for us, the Valley of Achor has another name, isn't it? It's called Calvary. On the hill of Calvary, our sins, we were brought to the Valley of Achor, right? The Valley of Trouble. In our trouble, instead of the sheep, instead of his sons, his daughters, we have another one, the Lamb of God, whose blood was shed so that you and mine don't have to be. Amen? You see, our greatest enemy sometimes is not the circumstances, it's not those things around us. Our greatest enemy is ourselves, the flesh within us, that somehow insists on going its own way, and therefore incur the wrath of God and the consequence of sin. But today, we have faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has shed his blood for you and for me. So, this valley of trouble, the valley of Achor, became a place of the appeasement of God's wrath. You understand? God was angry, but because of the blood that was shed, God's anger was appeased. So in verse 26, it says, after this, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Turned from his fierceness of his anger. The valley of Achor is also a place. The valley of trouble is a place where God turns away his wrath, away from us, because it's been appeased. So God is no longer angry at the sin because it's been met, right? The wages have been paid. When you are today, if you are today in the valley of trouble, you call out to the name of the one whose blood was spilled for you, right? That's the one that can save you. It's not you. It's the one who died for you. Though our sin be as scarlet, right? He died for us. Amen? I mean, that's good news, right? So, what do we do when we mess up, as we inevitably do? Well, we repent. We turn to God. We confess our sins. We allow the wrath of God to be appeased, in this case, mercifully, through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this repentance is important. Because, you know, in Joshua chapter 7, verse 13, God says to them, right, O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you, right? That's another thing going on here. So first, the anger is appeased. But God can never bless disobedience. You understand? God cannot bless our disobedience. Actually, the verses are all wrong here. Salah already. Yeah, the slide is a bit ahead. Okay, so anyway, we're still at somewhere between 8 and 9. God will not bless our disobedience as much as he loves us. So in order for us to secure the promise of God in your life, other than repenting, other than confessing your sins, you actually need to repent. You need to change, right? You need to get it right. So this time round, God says to them, you know, listen, I've given I into your hands, right? In fact, let me just read that to you. I don't know where I'm. What page is this? Okay, no, doesn't matter, right? I know it's there in the Bible. This time round, Joshua goes up with 30,000 men. Actually, 35,000 men, to be accurate, right? So altogether, they have 40,000 men. They went out with 30,000 men, 5,000 to lure them out, 30,000 to ambush them, and then 5,000 more, of course, guarding Jericho, right? In other words, this time round, they have learned not to be complacent. They bring everything they have before, right? And why? Some Christians ask, but why? God already promised that God will give them the land, right? God already said, I will deliver I into your hands. This is actually, that's what I want to read, right? Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. This is Joshua chapter 8 verse 1. For I have given I into your hands. So, if God has already promised it, right? It's a promise of God. Why do they need to work so hard? Now, some Christians will ask me this. Pastor, why do we have to work so hard? If it's God's will, then I don't have to do anything. Listen, it doesn't work like this one, you see. If you look in the Bible, the pattern is, God does his part, you still do your part. You do your best. You understand? It doesn't mean God does his part, I don't do anything. This is why a lot of Christians, they hope that God will do something so that they don't want to do anything. It's called laziness, right? I don't do anything, just let God do everything. It doesn't work like this. You give your 100% and God will give his 100%, right? And this is what happened. They go up with a strategy. Second thing they did, okay, they actually made a plan. They didn't just go up. They say, okay, 5,000 of you go out, they'll come out and they'll chase you. When they are chasing you, 30,000 of us will go and take the city, right? So this is a plan. Now I want you to know, Christians, sometimes you want to have victory in your life, you actually need a plan. You understand what I'm trying to say? You plan for everything in your life. You plan for your studies, you plan for your job, you plan for your holiday, you plan for your house renovation, you plan for everything, but you never plan for your victory in your Christian life. Do you realize this? Right? Imagine, every day I go to work, I have to walk past the shop, where, taka, you know, right? Every day, sooner or later, you sure fall on. You need a plan, right? Plan a different route, don't keep walking past the shop. Why? You need a plan, correct? Same thing in your Christian life. If you know that you're going to fall, you know the sensible thing to do is to plan for a victory. Don't plan for defeat. Don't plan for failure. You know it's not good. Just plan so that you don't keep falling into the same trap of the enemy again and again and again. You understand, guys? But in order to do that, you must come to a place, you see. You must come to a place where you basically say, you know what, I have enough of this valley of Achor. You must be fed up. Some people are not fed up with it. Or sometimes you stay in the valley of Achor so long, you actually become comfortable with it, right? And this is what happens, right? You're in prison for many years, right? And suddenly, the door opens. And you can go out. But you're thinking, I think I'll go out tomorrow. I don't know why some Christians have this kind. Why are you going out tomorrow? Now! Now! The door is open now. You go through now, right? But some Christians, well, I'm very comfortable. I'm very used to this jail cell already, you know. I'm so used to it. Maybe outside there, who knows what's out. So we have become conditioned to defeat. Some of us, we stay in the valley of Achor for so long. We already built houses there already, you know. Right? You're in the valley of trouble, but you are so comfortable. You got everything worked out there. But God's desire for you is not to remain in the valley of defeat, but in the valley of victory. Amen? On the mountain of victory, actually. So I want you to know that in your life, defeat is not God's plan for you. Right? Depression is not God's plan for you. Being in a place of trouble is not God's plan for you. But in order to get out of it, you must want to get out of it. Right? You must say, enough is enough. I've had enough with this defeat. I've had enough with being in this place of not winning. And you must say, enough is enough. I'm done with this valley. I'm getting out of this valley. And this is what you must do today. I want to get out of Achor. Many Christians don't even realize they're in Achor, right? They think that this is God's will for them. That's not God's will for you. God's will is for you to defeat and to take the promised land, right? So for you, wherever you are today, you must come to a place where you say, you know, I'm serious about this. It's enough. I want the promise God has for me. I hope that today is the day for you. That's the decision you have to make. You have to make that decision, right? But I hope that today is the day for you, because you know why? There's actually no condemnation for those who make that decision. Jesus has borne it all. But sometimes we are paisei, right? We are scared, we are embarrassed. Listen, if you are serious about winning, then be serious about winning, right? Don't allow the devil to have another day or another foothold in your life any second, any longer. Amen? Amen? Very important, right? So as we come to the end of this thing, right, we think, and by the way, Acts chapter 3 verse 19, that's the verse. Now we're there, right? It says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Do you know that God wants to bless you? Do you know that? Sometimes we block the blessing of God. Because God cannot bless our disobedience, right? As long as you're in the valley of Achor, you're stuck there, you know, how is God going to bless you? You got to walk out from it. And when you walk out from it, when you turn to the Lord, the Bible says, times of refreshing will come, not just from yourself, not from relief. It comes from the presence of God. God's blessing will be upon your life. You begin to see what is supposed to happen in your life. In fact, I was finally defeated. Right? He was finally defeated before them. And then, of course, all the other places. But that principle of winning is something that applies to all our lives. So today, some of us today, we are in the valley of Achor. Something happened, you messed up, you know. Whatever that thing is, first thing I want you to know, your defeat does not define your destiny, okay? You make a mistake, okay, we all make mistakes. I also make mistakes. We all make mistakes, right? Don't allow that mistake to become your destiny. Amen? The valley of Achor is not the last place you're meant to be. It's just a learning place. So you have to rise up and say, God, forgive me. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Don't minimize the sin. Maximize the mercy of God. Say, God, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Right? That's important. Secondly, you have to repent. Right? Repentance is not just being remorseful. It's not just saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Right? I'm lying on the ground. Repentance is get up. Why are you lying down on the face? Get up. Make a change here. Look at what the issue is. Plan a way out of it. Turn your back on the sin. Walk out of the valley of Achor into the promise of God. Amen? You can do that. But that's a decision you have to make for yourself. You must say, I've had it with this defeat. I will not allow Satan to trick me, to deceive me, to persuade me, to do one more thing that keeps me stuck in this place any longer. That's what you got to do. But Satan will come to you, don't lie, you know, so paiseh, you know. Don't lie, you know. Anyway, you're already quite comfortable here. You're my friend now. Stay with me, lah, you know. And some of us happily stay with him. Right? I don't know why. Maybe you like Satan already now, right? But today you got to say, enough. Enough is enough. This is the day for you to walk into God's promise. So that's what you need to do. You need to make a decision to walk out. To be restored, you need to also give your all in this. Walking out of Achor is not something that's done half-heartedly. You understand what I mean? It's not like, I'll think about it, whether I want to or don't want to come up from this jail. You cannot. You either do or you don't. Right? So if you want to, then do it. I mean, that's what it means to be serious in a Christian walk. You want to be victorious in a Christian walk, you can't do it in a lukewarm manner. You either do it or you don't do it. And today, I want to give you an opportunity. Right? We're going to sing and we're going to sing. And I'm just going to invite you, if this is your day, when we stand up, then you just come forward. Say, today, I am taking the first step out of this valley. Whatever that thing is, right? It's purely between you and God. Don't allow some external thing to determine your destiny. Right? This is purely between you and God right here. You say, God, I've had it with this thing. Okay? This is a small step, but small steps are important, right? Because great things come from small beginnings. So today, you have to make a small step. If 2018 is not going to be a rerun of 2017 and 2016, right? You want to be victorious. You want to see breakthrough, right? Then you got to do something different. If you want something you never had before, you got to do something you never done before, right? So some of us, you got to learn to say, Lord, I'm serious with you. Right? Doesn't matter. Nobody around me is going to influence my decision. This is you and God. When we sing this song afterwards, that's, you just come forward. Right? Nobody's going to come pray for you. Right? But we'll just come forward as our own act of coming before God. And say, God, I'm serious about this. I'm getting out of this place now. Amen? Let's stand together. Right?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Okay. If you're coming forward, then run. Don't walk. Okay? Just come forward. You and God. Come to the front.
I will ever love and trust Him in His presence day.
Surrender.
Oh.
one more time, right? And if this is you, this is purely between you and God. You know, I don't even want to see who's here, but you know what? You're walking to victory. So that's really good news for you, alright? So if that's you, we'll sing one last time. If you want to come, you run, you come. This is you saying, Lord, 2018, it's going to be different. Amen? Alright? So we want to be victorious. Don't be complacent about this. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, alright? I would be standing there if I were down there as well. But I'm standing right up here, right? We'll sing one last time.
All to Jesus. To Jesus I surrender.
It's a happy day when people are walking out the valley of trouble, when people are saying, Lord, we are getting serious with you, when we are turning our back on complacency, when we are saying, Lord, I've had enough with defeat. So Father, you look at all these people here, Lord. These are your children who are telling you, Lord, that they are serious. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that we are washed clean and there's no condemnation whatsoever in Christ Jesus. But there's promise of the gift of eternal life. But Lord, today, we want to pray, Lord, that you help us to make a plan for victory, Lord. To make a plan to take your promises for everyone who's here. Lord, I pray that there'll be a cleansing. There'll be a purification, a sanctification, Lord. There'll be the peace of God that washes over every defeat we've had in the past, Lord. Everything, even if it was just yesterday or even this morning, God, the power of your blood is able, more than able, to wipe it all away. And Lord, today we want to pray for your power, Lord. The power of your Holy Spirit, the courage and the wisdom for us to plan, to make plans for victory concerning our own spiritual life. Not just them, but all of us as a church, Lord. Lord, we need to wake up. This is the season for the church to arise and to wake up, Lord. Lest we slumber through your plans. Father, I pray for all of us who stand here, Lord, today, they'll receive such an anointing from you today, Lord. Times of refreshing will come from the very presence of the Lord. Lord, you fill up their heart with confidence of your love. That Satan will have no foothold in any of our lives. That every bondage, every chain will be broken in the name of Jesus, Lord. Every habit, every complacency that has had a hold on us, every depression that has had a hold on us, Lord, it's broken in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you are here. And Lord, we know that your plan for us is to be victorious, Lord. We know that our defeats do not negate our victory. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to claim your promises, Lord. Because you said it, and we believe it. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray this. Amen, 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 amen. And praise the Lord.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.